Jet lag. I woke up at 3 a.m., then 5 a.m., and then I managed to kind of grab another half an hour before finally getting out of bed at 5:30. That was after forcing myself awake till midnight local time, and local time for me is GMT minus 5. I'm in Bogota in Colombia, and I arrived yesterday afternoon. 10-hour flight, went really quickly. I was on Air France via Charles de Gaulle from Heathrow, and the staff were really nice. I was so, so tired because I had to get up before 4 a.m. to actually catch that flight, and I had one of those little bottles of wine with dinner, and I probably shouldn't have, and I was so hungry by the time the plane actually took off because it was a little bit delayed. And then just putting my head down to get some sleep, I was overcome with a massive wave of nausea. Ended up spending the next 15 or so minutes in the little train toilet while everybody else was trying to grab some sleep. Staff, again, really amazing. Told me to drink a Coke, something I don't normally drink. But it seemed to settle my stomach for some reason, the sugar or something. And then one of the male air hostesses, what they called air crew, gave me some balm, some weird balm from Hong Kong, and I dabbed it behind my ears, and it gave off this very pungent, almost deep heat smell. And but it really opened up my nasal passages and made me feel a lot better. So I might have to get myself some balm. I don't normally suffer from travel sickness, if that's what it was. I think it was mostly exhaustion mixed with travel sickness and drinking wine on an empty tummy. So it was great to get finally to Colombia, and it was interesting if you'd have read the what should I call it, a warning sheet? The security protocols that I had to adhere to. Do not get in a taxi, especially after 7 p.m. Do not go walking around in areas I don't know. Don't take my phone out in public. Very hard for somebody like myself. Actually, turned out to be easy here due to the lack of connectivity. All kinds of crazy stuff telling you that taxi drivers have been known to gas people, put them to sleep, take them round. Once they've got their number off you, they take them around cash points, and then they if you're very lucky, they dump you outside the city. But a few people have been killed that way. You could also just accept a drink off a stranger in a bar, or some food off somebody on the street, and before you know it, you're unconscious as well. So all these kind of things being battered around before I got here, and then obviously when I got here, you have it in the back of your mind, but you don't let it take control over, your experience, especially when everybody here seems so incredibly friendly. When I got there, I needed to get some local pesos, so I passed through passport control pretty quickly. You don't need a visa, even if you're working here. And I just didn't even say any words to the person. They just looked at my documents, stamp, through. I went downstairs, went to a money changer booth, and they wanted my fingerprints. Halfway through the process, they said, "Can you do your fingerprints?" And I looked down the counter, and everybody else was giving their fingerprints, and I was like, "No, I don't want to give my fingerprints." And she was shocked. She was like, "Why? It's a government procedure." I'm like, "Well, you got my name, you got my passport number, you got all my details there. Why do you need my fingerprints?" And it didn't make any sense to me. It's way too much information. So I refused and took my euros back, and went to a shop and bought a data SIM card and got my change in pesos. So if you do find yourself being asked for more information than you're willing to give across on it, in any country, just spend some of your hard currency in a shop and you will get local currency back. With a pocket full of notes with lots of zeros on, I tried again to kind of connect with there was a secure cab company that had been sent to pick me up, but they weren't there when I first got there, and I kept checking for this sign. They're not allowed to have my name on there in case someone Googles you and whatever reason, they're not allowed to have the name of the organisation you're working with. So it was just these two letters on a sign being held up. I'd been sent a photograph of what it would look like. And just nowhere to be seen. So got to 20 minutes waiting, and I thought, so this, I'll go and get an official taxi from the official taxi rank. And whilst walking to it, I saw them standing in a strange kind of place away from where I was expecting with that sign. A cool little tinted minibus rocks up, and I jump in and manage to grab a couple of snapshots of quite an incredible looking city as I travel to the hotel. And I don't know what was going on with me at the time. I didn't feel nervous. I didn't feel overly excited, apart from the normal anticipation you get when you're arriving in a brand new place on a continent you've hardly explored. My heart was beating like crazy. This morning I get up and it's still beating like crazy. Last night it was beating like crazy, but only after exertion, and it suddenly dawned on me that I'm at altitude here. I'm at 3,600 feet. Probably a little bit higher in this very swanky hotel room. I'm almost embarrassed to show you a picture of this hotel room, because, as you know, with many countries in South America, you know, there can be a huge juxtaposition between the very rich and the very poor. And this is definitely not the kind of hotel I normally stay in. I can see from the kind of clientele that come here, they are people with a huge amount of money. I'm not complaining at the comfort, obviously. But I would settle for something like a rug on the floor any day of the week, especially should that rug on the floor come with an internet connection that works. So even if they do try to use the best materials, like, what is that? That's like a bronze frame going around the television, kind of crazy. Even if they do try to build using the finest materials and all the rest of it, the infrastructure always falls down. The lighting system is here is this weird kind of touch-sensitive things that don't really work when you turn one off in another part of the room. There's three telephones in this hotel room. Do I need to tell you any more? And a coffee machine that exploded, by the by. So driving through towards this hotel, which is interestingly called Bog Hotel, better than Hotel Bog, I suppose. And there was just the light was just dropping, and I was thinking, oh, I wish I was walking. And I thought about what that might look like if I was walking along with all of my luggage on my back like a lost tourist, potentially being that target I've been warned of not being. And then I thought, you know, can you take a camera out? So I need to find out all these things today. I took a few shots from the car window anyway as we drove through, and it was just absolutely beautiful, this backdrop of huge dark mountains just sitting below a bank of storm clouds as the city was lighting up, and the streets were still wet and reflecting those lights as people hustled and bustled on crazy roads, absolutely crazy roads. Five near misses I counted. I was convinced we actually hit one vehicle, but they just carried on. It was more of a glancing blow. You don't know with the pothole sometimes whether you've hit something or not. And it was just an exciting trip in. I was just looking around me constantly. It's handy not having 3G data actually around here. I find myself absorbing my surroundings much more than throwing out the occasional reply to something that's happening online. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. So I want to explore this city more as much as possible. And I kind of did a little bit later. I got to the hotel, checked in, realised the Wi-Fi was almost impossible to use, so decided to... incidentally, the data sim I bought wasn't a proper data sim, and promised Edge, which I thought was all you could possibly get, and can't deliver that until I get the APN settings off the internet to get access to the internet. So I thought I'll go and get another SIM card as a backup, because the first one was only like $7, so other ones, which apparently promised 3G, can be cheaper if you shop around, so I decided to go for a walk into town, and I did have it in the back of my mind that it's night time, although this is a very, very nice area, and I know the shopping centre that I was told to go to is, you know, half a mile away. I don't know. It's best to take precautions, isn't it? So there's a hotel safe, but I'm always nervous about hotel safes because there's always a master key, and if anybody's got access to your room, they've potentially got access to that. And you know, even cleaners, for example, not that I don't trust cleaners, but when you get robbed in hotels, quite a lot of the time it is the staff, I'm sorry to say. So it's been a hobby of mine for a very long time to secrete my most valuable possessions in and around hotel rooms. And for this reason, I used to carry a bit of gaffer tape so that underneath a stool or a bathroom unit or something. And I'm thinking that if anybody is going to break into the room and do a quick snatch and grab, they'll go to the safe or they'll look for valuables on the table and they'll be out. They won't have time to upturn furniture, look behind pictures and all the rest of it. So I feel like I've got quite good at doing that. I remember, you know, I've dropped one in an air conditioner once, and the air conditioner was making a... I didn't drop one in an air conditioner. I placed my passport in an air conditioner once, and it was making a funny noise. And I turned the light on in the night, and there was my passport all fluttering through the holes in the air conditioner. I think for spaces like that. So leaving things like my main debit cards, passport, and stuff here, I went out with very light pockets for a change. Nice not carrying a wallet, just with a pay-as-you-go debit card that I carry anywhere. Actually, I use it in London, I use it in cities where, you know, I'm not sure about the EPOS machine and whether or not it's, because I have had my details scammed off a petrol station somewhere in I think it was Warwickshire. So I always have this pay-as-you-go credit card that I can go to my online banking, shift 100 quid over, and then know that if it goes missing, I get robbed, mugged or scammed, 100 quid's gone and that's it. So that's what, and I get a text message whenever, you know, the moment something gets taken out, which is really handy to get as well. And it was a great walk. It was really nice to be surrounded by the Latin American sounds and people partying, and I saw next to no foreigners at all. The only place I saw foreigners was in this very large, hard to get into bar called the Bogota Beer Company. I got my SIM card from a shop that was still open at 9 p.m. And then on the way back, I stopped at this little... It was like a push bike with a huge rack on the front with legs that they'd got a barbecue grill in, and they were making these kind of round pocket bread. They'd throw it on, a little bit like a pita bread, but round. It would inflate with the heat and get toasted, cut open, filled with butter and... Butter? Not filled with butter. This is me being jet-lagged and sleep-deprived still. Filled with butter and no ends of meat. Because I just says everything. I think there was chicken, pork and something else in there with kind of a weird slaw made of cheese and stuff. And I do worry sometimes eating off the street, but less than eating in some hotels. Doesn't feel like power cuts here are an issue. Therefore, fridges are probably going to be on quite a lot, and people on the street tend to be buying super fresh. And some of the shops I passed in the taxi yesterday were just floor to ceiling, incredible looking vegetables. And when we flew in over Bogota, the farms were just all over the place, a long, long, long strip of farms before getting to this huge city of, what is it, 8 million people, 7, 8 million people. And yeah, there's a lot of people on the roads that the mayor has had to actually come up with a system. I don't know if he's still the mayor or the president. If your number plate ends in a certain letter, you can't go on the roads on a certain day, which in one way is genius because people car share and rotate use of cars. In another way, those that can do, and they go and buy another car where the number plate numbers match what you are and aren't allowed to drive. So that's interesting. So I'm walking back through the traffic, still traffic, at 10 o'clock at night, munching on this super tasty sandwich, wondering if it's going to affect me today, and it didn't, hasn't, not yet, touch wood. Get back to my room, force myself to stay awake by tinkering with the internet, fiddling with IPs, a lot of IP conflicts going on. until midnight. And that was really my last experience outside of sleep and getting up to record and tell you this. Today, I think I've got roughly a day to myself, a bit of preparation for the work that's coming up. Yes, I'm being aloof around that. I have to at the moment. So, and I'm the first of the team I'll be working with who's actually landed in the country, and there'll be a few others coming over the next couple of days. But first impressions of Colombia, first impressions of Bogota. I like it a lot.